Hey, good morning. My name is Joel Vanderskout, one of the pastors of New Life Church. It's great to have you here with us. Winter has officially set in. It's absolutely freezing outside. This is the time of the year when you're standing in the lobby talking to someone, the door opens and you're like, oh my goodness, I should never take that jacket off. So foolish. Did you guys enjoy Thanksgiving? Good one? Good. We did too. I was just thinking this morning, it's like Thanksgiving for everybody except for maybe the turkeys, but it's a good week. And we had a good time. Our children had a good time. We went and stayed at this condo and swam like every day, and it was good times. Good times. It is good to be here with you guys this morning. We are kicking off our Advent series. And before we do, let's go ahead and pray together. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to celebrate and to look forward to something. Something amazing. And we get to remember all the good things that you've done in our lives. Just this past week, we take the time to do that, and we move into the time where we anticipate what's coming, Lord. And I just thank you for your goodness. Pray that you'd be with us this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us all through this time. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So that video is about anticipation, right? You know, the box. My kids were just playing with one of those at the store yesterday. It wasn't quite that thrilling. But it is about anticipation. That's the season we're in. It's also the birthday season in the Vanderskout household. Most of our kids are born right around this time of the year. I'm not sure what that says, but they were all born around this time of the year. And so we're looking at a lot of gifts, and we're spending a lot of time, you know, circling things in the Target ad. And my kids, you know, they have their thing. This is my Christmas list this year. It's the whole list. Ladies, you can connect with that, right? You know, big towing winch in the front so you can just haul your kids right back to you when they're getting too far away in the store or something like that. Dump bucket in the back, so if you want to, like, plant the flowers, you just put them in the, you know, drop it over and it's all good. And go anywhere you want. It's going to be cool. It's going to be a great Christmas. Right, when you're young, we actually spend a lot of time anticipating things this time of the year. We do go to Target, you know. They check out, the kids checking out the toy aisles and all the things they really want. And the idea is that, you know, if you get that thing, it's going to make your whole life better. And we get older, there's other things that are more important that come in that we can still anticipate, we can still long for and want. Sometimes it's health for ourselves, for the people we love. Sometimes it's a relationship. You want a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or you want that to be better if you already have it, or a spouse. You might want maybe reconciliation with a lost friend, or more time with those that we love. We're entering a season of remembrance in anticipation. It's what the church calls the season of Advent. And one of the icons of the Advent season is the Advent candle. If you can see it down here, we actually have, I guess, three you can look at, and then there's one on the screen, too. True, on the screen. This candle is actually going to serve as our outline for the series. It's most often represented as a five-piece candle, and each candle represents something important. One of the blessings that Christ brings us, we celebrate this time of the year. Hope, love, joy, and peace. And then the central candle is the Christ candle, representing Jesus at the very center of it all. Advent is a word with Latin roots. It means coming. Christians of earlier generations spoke of the advent of our Lord, the coming of our Lord, or of his second advent, his second coming. And the first phrase refers to God's becoming incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth, that God literally came to earth in Christ to be with us. The latter phrase speaks of Jesus' second coming. In a second sense, Advent designates a period before Christmas when Christians prepare for the celebration of Jesus' birth, as we're most familiar with this. This practice may have begun in some churches as early as the late 4th century, and it was a time of fasting. Sermons focused on the wonder of the incarnation. And by the Middle Ages, 4 Sundays had become the standard length of the Advent season, and since then, Advent has been considered to be the beginning of the church year, which is almost the beginning of the calendar year. I don't know what that means. I actually heard a sermon from a pastor this week. I really liked it. The guy's name is Glenn Packiam. He said this one quote really stuck out to me. Remembering his first arrival, speaking of Jesus, remembering his first arrival is the occasion to long for his second arrival. We are in a unique time, really, in history. This is a time between God's first coming and his second. We'll get more into that in a second. As I said, this is really a season of remembrance and anticipation. We actually just came off of Thanksgiving. We just celebrated it. It's a time where we take some time aside to give thanks. And actually, we had a service here at the church a couple weeks back, and I encourage those of you who are here to make this a season of intent. Not when we give thanks in a haphazard way, but when we give thanks in an intent-filled, focused way. That we push the pause button on our frenetic life, and we take a look back and intentionally give thanks to God for the things that he's done. And we can look at it in three different categories. Our past, the things that God has done for us way back and not that far ago. We can look at our present, the things that are happening all around us today. You know that moment when your little kid runs up to you and gives you a hug and you just, thanks God, that was good. Or you see a friend you hadn't seen in a long time. Or one you just saw yesterday and you're glad to see him again. The little things in life. Or a Pop-Tart in the morning that's warm, I guess. You know, whatever it might be for you. And then we can look to our future and actually give thanks for our future because God is faithful. So the things he's promised will come to pass. They absolutely will. So we move from the season of thanks and remembrance into a season of anticipation. Anticipation is defined this way. It's a feeling of excitement about something that's going to happen. Feeling of excitement about something that's going to happen or the act of preparing for something. I think we're all wired for this feeling. It's one of the things that stirs up life and energy in our hearts. The little things. The other day, our washing machine, it died a caustic, smoky death. The problem was I didn't know it at the time. I mean, I saw the smoke, but I didn't know about the death part. And I really like fixing things. So I attempted to fix it. Took it apart, you know, took the base out. I actually have a picture of it half torn apart here. Well, mostly torn apart. My kids were fascinated. They thought this was amazing. But I experienced a great deal of anticipation because I took the motor off, put on a new belt, put the whole thing back together again, started it up, and I literally got on the ground in that space in the hallway there, and I'm just like, the whole wash cycle, just watching it from down here, being like, I hope it works. I think it's going to work. And three loads later, it didn't work. It died. So sometimes anticipation comes and goes. You find something new to anticipate, right? But our capacity to anticipate is so deeply ingrained in us that we anticipate things as small as Lego kits and washing machines and also things that are much greater of importance and worth. How about a family waiting for the birth of a child? Some of you are in that spot today. Or a spouse waiting for a loved one to return home from an overseas deployment. Or a child waiting for mom and dad to return home after work or a long trip. These are very real moments. They happen in our lives all the time, all over the planet. We're also waiting for healing, right, and justice. Even particularly now in the news, there's so much evidence of the lack of it presently. And we're waiting for these things, anticipating these things. I watched a video this week, I was tempted to show you guys, of a little boy and a boy and a dog. And they're just sitting at the door, and they're like, the boy is like two, and the dog is about the same height, standing up on his back paws, and presumably what happens is dad comes home because the kid is so excited and the dog is so excited. Can't tell which one's more excited. Sometimes we talk about anticipation. We use a deeper form we call longing. Longing. The child longs for her daddy to come home. It's like anticipation, but so much of ourselves are put into it. You see, we live in a fallen world. Truthfully, my co-pastors will attest to this. I rarely ever read the news these days. I need them to tell me what's happened because I can barely stomach it. There's so much horror in the world, so much pain and confusion and hurt, so much death. And this is the season that Jesus arrives in on earth. This is precisely the situation Jesus gave up everything to correct. It's the beauty of Christmas, not the snow or the presents or the decorations, but the life that was born unto us. The life of God made flesh, the life of God walking this very earth. And some of you actually have walked in the very same places that Jesus did. We aren't talking about a myth or a legend, but a very real person who walked this earth, a man like us, and yet so much more than a man. Jesus is what Advent is all about. Advent's defined this way, the arrival of a notable person or a thing or an event. In a general way, in the Christian sense, it is the first season of the Christian church, but more specifically, it's the coming or the second coming of Christ. So here's the storyline. Jesus Christ was born into our world. He grew up. He entered public ministry. He selected disciples and poured into them. He taught the masses and healed them everywhere he went. And he gave himself up willingly to human hands and to death, only to defeat it for all of time by becoming the ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. Then he rose again, showing his power over death. He appeared to his followers. He commissioned them to make disciples, and then he rose into heaven. Days later, God bestowed us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, who indwells everyone who believes in Christ and marks us with a seal, guaranteeing our inheritance until the day Christ returns. Until the day Christ returns, because he will return, for sure. The Advent, the coming. This is God's master plan for us. Read with me in Ephesians chapter 1. This is starting in verse 11. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing your inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Because God will redeem his children. He will. He'll come through on that promise. He will fulfill that. He has a plan to do it. And we're in an in-between stage right now. We have some of the blessings that God has intended to give us, and some are yet to come. The first Advent really has already occurred. And the world needed it. I don't know if the world was anticipating it. Some were, some maybe not. But Christ came onto the scene. He came onto the scene in the form of a child. Nobody really quite expected that, or any of the things he did thereafter. But what he accomplished in coming is priceless. And it gives us this incredible gift of having a relationship with God for those of us who place our faith in him. And so we're in this time in between where Advent has already taken place. Christ has come. And at Christmas time, actually, a lot of what we're doing is looking back and remembering what it is that's already taken place. But we also have the opportunity to look forward to what hasn't taken place yet, because Christ will come again. The second Advent. John 14 records this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. That you may also be where I am. This is God's plan. This is what he intends for us, that we would be with him, that we would get to experience him. He would get to experience us in the deepest possible way. That's what we're intended for. But why is he waiting so long? Have you ever asked yourself that question? It's been 2,000 years since he came the first time. The Bible says that the gospel is to spread to the entire world before the end will come, that everyone would have a chance to hear. Because God's desire is that everyone would be saved. Every one of us. Me and you, everyone you can think of, that was God's design, his intent, his hope. That's what he longs for. Because he wants to be in relationship with all of us in the deepest, closest possible way. The Bible speaks of a day when Christ will return to earth one final time. It's called the second coming of Christ, or the day of the Lord. Here's a glimpse of how it's recorded and described in Scripture. This is in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Christ Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So the terminology here is fallen asleep, but really it's those who have died. But the idea is it's temporary. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. But the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This knowledge is meant to encourage us. It's meant to give us hope, because Christ will come back and we'll be with him. That's his intent. We're meant to encourage one another, and it's meant to encourage us. Continuing on, chapter 5. Now concerning the times, the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. What's he saying here? He's saying there are two groups of people in the world. There are people of the light and people of the darkness. It's not people who are good enough to get into heaven and people who are not good enough to get into heaven. It's people that have realized that Jesus is the only way that they can be reconciled to God. And they have that light. And God gives it to us through faith. He goes on to say this. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. He's not talking about literal sleep and sobriety here, but the idea that those of us who live in the light in this period of time between the Advents, we understand that we're in a unique time, we're in a unique season. We're alert to that fact. We're alert to the idea that God is doing something here, that we get to be a part of it, and that he's going to come back for the ultimate fulfillment of his plans. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. With him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. This actually reminds me of our theme verse for the year. We have it over here. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We're meant to encourage one another. We're meant to be there for one another, to push one another on. God is calling us to care and engage for our fellow citizens, even now in the Advent season, perhaps especially now when we're on the threshold of the day of the Lord, as we wait for his coming. So what do we do with all this? What do we do with all this? I think we have two options. We can hope or we can fear. Christ will come back. No one knows the day save for God himself, but Christ will return, and when he does, it will surely happen as the Bible says it will. And this is one of those black and white scenarios. For those who've placed their faith in Christ, it's extremely good. For those who haven't, it's the polar opposite. And if you are presently afraid of the return of Christ, the good news is that you can trade in that fear for hope right now, today, even in this moment. Because God's intent is for every soul to be with him forever. He longs for us to experience him, to have that relationship with him. And this is a season that he intends for us to experience hope. My intent by expressing all this is to instill you with hope. Hope is something we absolutely need in life. We absolutely need it. We can't live without it. Not the life God intended for us. It provides an anchor for us, something to look forward to. When you're a kid, it's the Lego kit, right? When you're a big kid, maybe it's the Polaris Ranger. I don't know, but God intends for us to have an anchor point that's much deeper, much stronger, something that can get us through the rigors of life. Because life is difficult. It's really difficult. We have so many friends who are wrestling. Should I use this other mic? It's good? Okay. We have so many friends who are wrestling with really serious things, and it just piles on top of each other, one thing after another. And we need hope. We need to know that something better is coming, because God has something better. He has given us a lot of good things here, but there's some great things he has yet intended for us. Jesus is coming back for us. We are not forgotten. His thoughts are ever for us. He longs for the day when all will be made right, when all that's true will be made crystal clear, when justice is established in totality, when we get to live in the constant presence of God's light and hope forever and ever and ever. Hope. It's what this candle represents, the first week of Advent. Advent is about the Lord's coming, and it's going to happen. And he intends for us to approach it, to start the season with hope that he is faithful, that the words he has will come true. We started in the first part of the service with a verse in Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. And I'm just going to reread the last part here. And if you notice, there are two things that are held in tension here, two concepts of God, aspects of God. One is his power, and one is his gentleness. Power in that he will absolutely bring things about that he said are going to come about. No one can thwart him. And gentleness in the sense of a loving parent holding a child and escorting that child into something amazing and great. Read with me here. This is from the New Living Translation. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Longing. I think we can think of longing in two ways, because we talked about the longing that we have and that I think God wants to instill in us and help us to remember this time of year. But there's a stronger longing at play, and that is the longing of Christ for us. The longing of Christ for us. Because he has been hoping and planning and strategizing for a long, long time that we may be in relationship with him for eternity. For a long time, we can't even conceive. And the things that he's had to go through to make this plan come about, we can read about, but we can't fully understand. The longing that Christ has for us. It's one of those awesome relationships where you know that when you're away from somebody, they miss you as much as you miss them, and in this case, more. It's a weird thing because we have a relationship with God right now. If we have our faith placed in him, he indwells us through the Holy Spirit, and we have a relationship with God, but it isn't quite the way it will be. I want to offer you two options to engage the Advent season a little deeper this time of year. One is that we are doing an Advent study. We're offering it, I guess. It's an option for you to do. Advent formally starts December 1st, moves through December 25th, which is the birth of Christ. And we have this location on our website. We found the study that Life Church is putting out that we really, really like. And so rather than we are thinking about creating our own, and we found this and we're like, that's great. God bless you guys. That's awesome. So they're the same folks that have the Bible? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so there's a Bible integration piece and website and all that kind of stuff. So whatever's good for you, you guys can engage the Advent season through the study and do it every single day. And if you only make 2 days, that's great. That's two more days than you might have done otherwise, or 25 if you're gung-ho. You can start now and get a head start on it, just in case those days get tough in December, which they always do. The other challenge I want to offer you is to read Revelation 21 and 22. How many of you guys have read Revelations in the last couple months? Like, not just a verse, but like the whole book, parts of it. Yeah. Sorry, most of us don't. It's not a book that we spend a lot of time in, but this time of the year, I think it's an interesting place to read because it reminds us that the world we live in, the phase we live in, is not going to be the way it always will be. Things are changing. We don't know the time, but they will change. Revelation 21 and 22, it's the very last two chapters in your Bible. So it's easy to find. You just turn to the very end, unless that's the glossary, and then you move back to the scripture part. Read the last two chapters. Revelation 21 says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. For the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" I'm making all things new. It's his intent. We live in a time that is not going to be like this forever, and this is the option. There is, I don't know how to say this. We have an opportunity. And one of the things I'd like to challenge you guys with in the Advent season is to figure out what your longings are. What are you anticipating? All of us have things. Some of it is things, the next paycheck or time with family or deviled eggs. You know, there are things that we anticipate. I love as a kid the first snow coming down. I don't anticipate it the same way as an adult. Now I'm like, ha. If I had that Polaris with the snowplow, it would be fine. But But I loved as a kid when the snow came down. I just loved those first snowflakes. I was like, yes, it's a Christmas season. My kids have that. I want to go out and play. My wife still has that. God bless her. But we are anticipating things this season. Could be anything. But what is it for you? What is it for you? What do you have in your heads, in your hearts? And then I think we need to be honest about that, whatever those things are. And then I think what God is asking us to do is he's holding up something for us to anticipate, something greater, something weightier. And he wants us to spend some time thinking about that too. And I think we need to put those things together, figure out what those first set of anticipations and longings means in light of the second. Let's pray. Actually, before I start praying, I wanted to say, actually invite the band to come up. These guys are going to do a reflective song for us about God being with us. The theme of Emmanuel, the fact that we have a divine God who, for some reason, decided that he wanted to be with us. He wanted to have a relationship with us. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that that is so true. That is one of the greatest truths of our existence, that nothing can be done to change it, that you absolutely, absolutely long to be in a relationship with us. That as much as we might long for you, Lord, you long for us more. And you have a plan, one that we can read about, we can't fully understand, but one that will absolutely come to pass, and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see what our longings are, what our anticipations are in this season. Lord, we submit those to you. Help us to see the most important things. The season is super busy. It's crazy. Our calendars are filled with nonstop events and activity. And at the same time, Lord, we somehow need to find space to seek you, to remember you, to know what it is you have planned for us. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you that you love us and that you are with us and that your promises will come to pass. In your holy name we pray. Amen.